In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. O Mary, conceived without original sin, pray for us poor sinners who have recourse to thee, and pray for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the Masons. Yes, Blessed Mother, send us the graces of your divine Son. Let us share the salvation won by your child. And we ask this of you, dear Mother, for you are the mediatrix of all graces and the blessings of your Son, Jesus Christ. You are she who stands at the top of this world as an instrument of Christ, as a special tool of mediation, pouring down the rays of grace. Mary, you are not the water of life. You are like the faucet that channels the water into the desert of our poor, dry souls. Mary, you are not the treasure of God. You are not the gold, that is, Jesus. But you are the treasurer, daily distributing the riches of your Son. Mary, you were not the furnace of divine charity, but you are the ductwork of the warmth of God's love. O Immaculate One, you are not the bread of life, but you are the ciborium, the monstrance, the very chalice that holds the body and blood of our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's Mass is being offered especially for those souls which are most in need of the mercy of God. What is today's feast day? If you were following us in yesterday's Mass, you'd know. Today is a feast day of Mary, who is mediatrix of all graces. This is a dogma which many within the Church desire ardently for the Holy Father to solemnly define by a solemn act as his role in confirming the faith and teaching that which is true, that it may be a teaching which is incumbent upon all believers for all time. Some call it the fifth Marian dogma, Mary mediatrix of all graces. We can pray that such a time will be recognized by all Christians, for such is she. So that we can enter into this feast day in a more deep way, I want to actually give you the readings, not just the readings, but also all the prayers which we mention from the altar during this prayer, beginning with the entrance antiphon, that introit, all the way unto our final prayer after communion, because they tell us what this feast is all about. She who is the mediatrix of all graces. The entrance antiphon says this, taking its place from the fourth chapter of Hebrews, the 16th verse. It says, "Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need." Then it takes a little note from the 120th Psalm, the first verse, saying, "I lift up my eyes up toward the mountains, from whence help shall come to me." The mountains where Our Lady went. Remember, at the end of the month, the 31st, we will celebrate the feast day of Our Lady of the Visitation, of the Visitation of Our Lady to her dear cousin Elizabeth in time of need, where that child leapt within Elizabeth's womb, recognizing John the Baptist, his cousin Christ, the Lord and God, in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The prayer which we prayed to begin the Mass earlier here said, "Lord Jesus Christ, our mediator before the Father, you have made the Most Blessed Virgin your mother and ours a mediator before you. May everyone who comes to you seeking benefits rejoice at receiving all through her." We receive all graces through the Blessed Virgin Mary. That first reading which we have there, that lesson from the prophet Isaiah, I leave to you as it was proclaimed in English, but it is from Isaiah 55, 1 through 3 and verse 5, talking about all who are thirsty, all who are hungry, all who have need of anything, let them come, receive water. Even if you have no money, receive grain and eat. It's not going to cost you anything. Drink wine and milk if you need. people who do not claim you, even those who are not a part of God's family at this moment, they will indeed come, because the Lord our God, the Holy One of Israel, has glorified the Blessed Virgin Mary, his mother. Right after this, when we return to the altar, we'll play that beautiful verse, the offertory antiphon, which will say, "Be mindful, O Virgin Mother, when you stand in the sight of God, to speak good things for us, and turn away God's divine wrath from us." What is it saying? We're turning to her and we're saying, "Mary, remember us. You stand in God's sight all the time, every day. You are there within his presence. Speak good things to God about us. We have recourse to you. Speak good things so that his wrath may be turned away from us, because we deserve his wrath. But you can assuage his mercy through your intercession as our mediator." Again, right as we pray over the gifts, prior to the beautiful preface that will be sung, this prayer will be prayed. It's called the secret, which is why you don't hear it. It's the secret prayer. Taking from Esther chapter 15, verse 17, we pray. Oh, rather the prayer over the gifts. I was getting ahead of myself. "Through the prayers of your mother, our mediatrix, O Lord Jesus, may your offering of these gifts make us, by your bountiful grace, an eternal offering to you." And then the communion antiphon that will say right before the final prayer, right after the priest purifies the vessels, from Esther chapter 15, will say, "You, O Mary, are very admirable, and your face is full of all graces." And the last prayer that we'll pray before the final blessing is given and the Mass is dismissed, we'll pray, "O Lord, may the prayers of the Blessed Virgin Mary, your mother, and our mediatrix be our support. Through this holy exchange of gifts, may we, by your bountiful grace, come ever nearer to our eternal redemption." See, Mary is the mediatrix of all graces. She gives everything. She gives everything. Why? Because she possesses them all. One of the great things that you and I have to recall when we acknowledge the Blessed Virgin Mother, who is our mother, is one. This is a principle, a theological principle I impart to you now. Take it and test it. You see, what the theologians tell us is that anything that we can say in general terms about the whole of the church, anything we can speak generally about Christ's church, we can say specifically about the Blessed Virgin Mary. And anything it is that we can say specifically about the Blessed Virgin Mary can be said in a general way about His Holy Church. Why can we say that? Why is this a theological principle that we can hold in every way? Here's the reason. The reason is because Mary is the church. And the church is absolutely Marian. Marian. Without why? Because the church is what? The church is the beautiful, spotless bride of Christ. Mary is the Immaculate Conception. And so, because of that Immaculate Conception, she is also the perfect disciple who has always said yes. Her movement is always yes to our blessed Lord Jesus in every moment, in every situation. Always yes, as the perfect disciple. No, Mary wasn't just merely a vessel, the one who carried God into the world, and thus her ministry was complete. Her whole life had achieved everything it is that she was supposed to do. No, through her every act, even there afterwards, yes to God, yes to Christ, yes to the plan of salvation and redemption, yes to drawing all souls closer in relationship to her divine Son. And so too, that is the mission of the church, is it not? To bring souls ever closer into relationship with Christ, to always say yes to the Son, which is why the last words we ever hear her speaking is what? The wedding feast of Cana, John chapter 2, where she says, "Do whatever it is." Do whatever it is that he tells you to do. And so, saying that not merely to the servants there in Cana, but saying that to you and me, she discharges her duty of speaking out loud and seeks to live out the rest of her life demonstrating how that is done. Mary is this mediatrix of all graces. She is the Immaculate Conception. She is, in that way, the Immaculate Conception. Remember when she appeared in the year 1850, or thereabouts, to Catherine Laboret. Remember, she gave us the beautiful miraculous medal, saying all these things. Catherine Laboret, we are told at that time, asked her, said, "Mary, why is it that when you appear, you have so many rings upon your fingers, with such great light going out of them, but not all of them are lit up so beautifully with light? In fact, many of them are dark. Why is that?" Our Lady told St. Catherine Laboret, it was one of the incorruptibles, who to this day, her very body is just as fresh, just as new, just as glorious as it was when she passed from this light. No rigor mortis set into her, still soft and supple as her skin here, many hundred plus years after she had passed from this light. She said what? She said, "The reason why there are so many of my rings which do not give out light, these rings represent the graces that my blessed Son wishes to reveal to the earth and which I wish to distribute to all who ask of it. But there are many who are dark because those are the ones which my sons and daughters, those who belong to my Son, do not ask for. And so they are not brilliant and lightful. They receive not those graces because they do not ask for them. I want to give them all." The intercession of Our Lady is so incredibly powerful for all who make use of it. How many graces, how many difficulties would be averted within our lives? How many graces would we receive? How many benefits would be showered down upon us individually, those we care for, those who are in need, the whole of the Church of God, if we would but ask of them? And yet we have not because we do not ask for them. Our Lady reminds us through this feast day that she is indeed the mediatrix of all graces. St. Louis de Montfort, the great Marian doctor of the Church, tells us this. He reminds us of this analogy with the king. He says, think of it this way. The poorest of the poor farmers desires to give a great gift of his produce to the king. And so what he does, knowing that he cannot gain access to the royal throne room, finds the queen mother there about outside the gates. And so, seeing his lowly state and that he could not appear before the king, in turn offers her the produce that he has brought from his farm, that he may make a good gift to the king. She looks down upon him, smiles, and accepts all that he has, and saying to him, "Do not worry, dear son. I will make sure that my son receives these things." So what does she do? She takes those gifts which are given, those fruits, that those things which are given to her of the produce of the farmer, and so she takes them. Of one of her own beautiful silver platters, sets it up. Then she sets about arranging them in such a way so they would be most beautifully presented, making sure and accenting them with her own little garnishes that would be there to make them most beautiful and acceptable in the sight of the king. And then at a moment when the king is most well disposed, at a moment when he has been soothed and his cares are no longer weighing down upon him, she then takes that platter, beautifully arranged by her own hand, according to her own heart, and with the love which she herself adds, brings them before the king in his royal throne room, and says, "Here, I offer you these." And while offering them, delighting, because they're so beautifully arranged, because they're so exquisitely garnished, because they come from the mother who he loves and owes his very life to, she accepts them with great joy as she whispers the name to him of the one who originally gave it, so disposing the king to that poor farmer in such a way that otherwise would never have been disposed. So is the way in which our petitions are offered through the intercession of Mary, if we just take them to her. And so she is able, by means of that same intercession and mediation, to bring those graces of the King, those benefits of the King, back to us. Have recourse to her. Have recourse to her. And so I want to add, what is the not so many thousands of those that say around the border of that medal? It says, O Virgin, O Mary, conceived without original sin, pray for us poor sinners who have recourse to thee, who are able to speak to thee and make use of your mediation and intercession. At the end of that prayer, my own patron saint, St. Maximum Kolbe, this great Marian saint, also added this prayer with which we began the sermon today, and it bears repeating now, that we may enter more deeply into the meditation thereof, of Mary who is mediatrix of all graces. He said the prayer this way. He said, O Mary, you who are conceived without original sin, pray for us poor sinners who have recourse unto thee, and pray for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the Masons. Yes, Blessed Mother, send us the graces of your divine Son. Let us share the salvation won by your child. And we ask this of you, dear Mother, for you are the mediatrix of all graces and the blessings of your Son, Jesus Christ. You are she who stands atop this world as an instrument of Christ, as a special tool of mediation, pouring down the rays of grace. Mary, you are not the water of life, but you are like the faucet that channels water into the desert of our poor and dry souls. Mary, you are not the treasure of God. You are not the gold that is Jesus. But you are the treasury, daily distributing the riches of your Son. Mary, you are not the furnace of divine charity, but you are the ductwork of warmth of God's love. O Immaculate One, you are not the bread of eternal life, but you are the ciborium, the monstrance, the very chalice that holds the body and blood of our Lord. Mary, you who are mediatrix of all graces, pray for us, we poor sinners, who have recourse to thee this on your feast day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.